So please, please rest on your back. So get a sense of your contact with the floor. In particular, note the current shape of the whole of the back and the trunk. What rests against the floor and what's away from the floor? And of course, that's influenced by the shape of the spine, rib cage, the position of the pelvis. What's the distance between the low back and the floor? And what's the shape of the space behind the neck like? In between those two, how does the upper back, the part of the back where the ribs attach, how does that rest on the floor? What ribs, what vertebrae? Not that you have to know the numbers or anything like that, but at what location do you rest on the floor? Or if you make finer distinctions, what locations, ribs and vertebrae, etc. And then two, at the behind the pelvis, at the hips. Where does that space behind the low back become a place where you're in contact with the floor? And get a sense of the position of the pelvis. Would you say it's tipped so that the pubic bone in the front of the pelvis there is a little down in the direction of the feet? Or is it more or less neutrally forward, or is it tipped a little, what we would call up perhaps, where the front is closer to the nose? And what about the head at the other end of the spine? What's the position of the head at the top of the neck there? Is it tipped up a little so that the nose is a little bit away from the breastbone? Or is it tipped the other way? And taken as a whole, you have the tailbone and the coccyx, the fused bones of the sacrum at the middle of the pelvis, and then the five lumbar vertebrae, the 12 thoracic vertebrae, each of which has a rib or two ribs attached for most of us. And then the seven cervical vertebrae above the rib cage, coming to the base of the skull, which is roughly behind your nostrils and right in the middle of the head at about the level of the openings in your ears, more or less. So get a sense of the whole shape of that spine, and then fill in for yourself the lengths along those curves along the back and something like that along the front of yourself. What's the distance from the various front ribs and the parts of the breastbone away from the floor? How far is the belly away from the floor? The abdomen, so-called stomach, all the way down to the low part of it by the pubic bone. In other words, the whole shape and volume of the trunk. So, by way of a little introduction, Feldenkrais says here at the beginning of this lesson, in this lesson, you will learn to recognize some of the fundamental properties of the control mechanisms of the voluntary muscles. By the way, these introductory comments that Feldenkrais makes, they're kind of hints into the lesson that maybe will reoccur to you when you're moving. He continues, "You will find that about 30 slow, light, and short movements are sufficient to change the fundamental tonus of the muscles, that is, the state of their contraction before their activation by the will. Once the change of tonus is effected, it will spread to the entire half of the body containing the part originally worked. An action becomes easy to perform, and the movement becomes light when the huge muscles of the center of the body do the bulk of the work, and the limbs only direct the bones to the destination of the effort." So you can let that sit, and maybe some of those notions will occur to you during the lesson as we continue. Now, bring both arms overhead on the floor. And take the feet a bit apart so the limbs roughly make an X. You can imagine a line, not too far, just comfortably a little bit far, not so far that you're straining in any way. Get a sense of that line from one hand to the opposite foot on each side. See what it's like. What's in contact with the floor? If you bend your elbows a little bit, can you rest maybe the hands, or can you rest the elbows? See what it's like as you get started here. And note your contact with the floor now. What's changed? So bring the arms alongside again, and do so slowly so you can note any change in the shape of the trunk. And so that you address any possible discomfort in the shoulders. So bring them alongside and bring the feet a little bit more together and just try it out. What's the shape of the back, the trunk, like that? And then once you have a sense of it, additionally, sense for yourself how it changes when you take the feet not too far apart, a little bit apart comfortably, and then the arms overhead and form this X again. What's the shape of the trunk like as you make this change? So we'll be spending a little bit of time here, so be sure you take care of yourself. If you need to rest or make an adjustment or imagine, please do. And now, with a very small movement, almost imperceptible, begin to lift the right hand away from the floor. And by begin, I mean whatever light contact at the knuckles, it's almost like just enough so that you could slip a sheet of paper between them, the hand and the floor, and then allow the hand to come to rest again. Repeat that movement many times, noting where you begin the muscular activity. As Feldenkrais notes, the will that you decide and begin to enact this lifting, what muscles do you use first? If you're uncomfortable, you can bring the arms a little more alongside, somewhere that's maybe more like a less of a cross. And use the shoulder to lift the hand a little bit. Again, if it's trouble for you, just do it quite lightly. Do a few very intentionally, and then you can always rest. If you're reasonably comfortable, just continue. So ensure that you really make distinct movements, that you lower the hand and you pause, And then you lift the hand in this very minimal fashion. Think about lifting from the shoulder. Let's see what that's like as you continue. Can you see, is there any extra work you're doing anywhere that you don't need to do for this simple action? All right, and leave it and bring the arms alongside and put your legs comfortably and rest. So you see, when you have a notion of this whole shape of the spine, the trunk, there are places away from the floor and less away from the floor, especially through the mid-back and the low back. You could see about, just maybe once or twice lightly, if you wanted to put the whole of the back onto the floor, what would you do to do that? You could try it out, and then just let it go. Try it a couple of times, and note that when you leave off the action, the space behind the back returns. You can pause there for a moment, leave it. So Feldenkrais notes here that it's possible to lengthen the entire spine and put it on the floor with conscious effort in various sections, but it doesn't serve to keep it that way or leave it that way. Says, in order to settle the whole of the spine closer to the floor, we must stop the work of the muscles that are working without our knowledge. How can we do this if a deliberate and conscious effort is not successful? We shall have to try an indirect method. So make this X again. You take the two arms overhead. Again, not too wide with the arms and not too wide with the legs. Don't take the legs so far apart that they disturb the low back. And if you have to take your arms a little to the sides for comfort, do that. And begin to lift the right arm again as before, just enough to just barely take it from the floor. And as you initiate the movement, look to see what you're doing with your breathing. Are you doing anything in particular as you begin the lift? Now, whether it's what you're already doing or not, begin to time the lift so that it's synchronized with the start of the exhalation. Make it very deliberate so that as the beginning of the muscular action in the shoulder is happening, shoulder girdle, the upper right side of the chest, the exhalation begins, and you take the hand away from the floor, you set it down and wait for the next exhalation to come around and lift minimally that arm with the beginning of the exhalation. So partly this is synchronization, but partly look what's shared in the action of the rib cage and the abdomen on exhalation with the lifting of the arm at the shoulder. In other words, what do you move to intentionally exhale a little bit and lift the arm? And note if it's possible that as you're beginning to lift, if you have a notion of the length of the back of yourself and the length of the front of yourself, that you get if it's conceivable that you get a little longer on the back of the arm and maybe the back of the shoulder, such that as you begin to lift, maybe the arm lengthens just a little bit. Feldenkrais says here that the knuckles or the fingers creep just a little bit on the floor. Might just be a millimeter, but that there's a possibility that the arm gets a little longer as you use the middle of yourself to minimally lift here. So if it's the knuckles that are resting on the floor, you don't have to do anything with the hand itself. Just see that the part that's resting maybe slips a little on the floor. Or at least you can imagine the possibility. All right, bring the arms alongside and do so carefully, taking care of the shoulders. Stand the 2 feet and rest with the knees bent. Just see what that's like in terms of the position of the whole of the back on the floor. And slowly extend the legs and get a sense how the shape of the whole trunk changes as you make the legs long. All right, roll to your front. Here too, take up a kind of X position, similar to when you're on your back with the arms apart and the legs comfortably apart, just a little bit, not a whole lot really. Get a sense of that X. Just know what you've decided to do with your head. Find something reasonably comfortable. Get a sense of the shape of the trunk as you rest here on your front. And now begin here to start with the right elbow, that you begin to move the right elbow just barely off the floor. So in a movement from the shoulder, lift the arm such that the elbow lifts, and then set it back down. Try this several times, many times perhaps. Note what you do in the back of the shoulder and the right side of the upper back at the shoulder girdle there. Really just a very teeny movement, just almost enough so that the bones at the elbow come away from the floor. Maybe even the skin would stay in contact with the floor. A very small movement, but an intentional one. And perhaps here you can bend the elbows just a little bit so that they're maybe about as wide apart as the elbows. The hands are about as wide apart as the elbows, so you don't make a full X. The hands are a little closer, perhaps. And continue here, and as you lift the elbow away from the floor, begin to coordinate the exhalation so that just as you're beginning to exhale, you're beginning to lift the elbow away from the floor, and you lower the elbow and finish the cycle of breathing. Now begin to lift a little more so that the elbow lifts away from the floor, and continue that action so that the wrist lifts away from the floor. Just enough to take a sheet of paper between. Continue with that. Notice how that changes the work in the shoulder just a little bit. So the Shoulder movement lifts the elbow, then the wrist. And note what you do with the hand. Do you extend the wrist? In other words, lift the hand away from the floor? Or does the hand kind of hang toward the floor so that the fingers come up last? How would you do that so that you don't add any superfluous effort in the wrist? So the wrist will bend so that there's an angle between the palm and the inside of the forearm. In other words, first the elbow comes away from the floor, then the wrist, and then finally the fingers, softly, barely. All right, just pause here on the front. And begin this action again of lifting from the shoulder to lift the elbow and then the wrist and then the hand and then finally maybe the fingers just barely come away from the floor. Lowering fully each time, coordinating the breathing. Now begin to use the musculature of the back. So you think about taking the whole shoulder away from the floor in order to lift the elbow, the wrist, and the hand. Maybe you'll note a little turning in the trunk. See if there's a way to use a kind of the shortening along the back of yourself to lift the shoulder, the upper arm, the lower arm, and the hand. Really pause distinctly between each movement. See if it's possible to include a little more of the back. What presses into the floor as you lift the shoulder a little bit in order to lift the arm in this minimal fashion? And what are you doing with your breathing? Can you synchronize the breathing so the exhalation begins the taking of the shoulder away from the floor. Perhaps the front of the shoulder even comes a little bit away. So you lift the shoulder, the upper arm, the elbow, the wrist, the palm, and finally the fingers. Then reverse that to bring the arm back down. All right, now leave that and roll to your back slowly, taking care of your shoulders, and rest. With your legs long and the arms alongside, what's the shape of your trunk like now? What's the whole right side like compared to the left? It's the quality of muscular tone, like the degree of the activation of the muscle before you do anything with it. How does that compare on the left and right? That may be reflected in a quality of softness, or maybe something like the length of the right arm and the left arm, or right leg, maybe the way that the trunk rests on the floor on the two sides. Just note if you find any difference there. I take up this crossed or X position again with the arms overhead, feet a little bit apart. Again, not too wide so that the pelvis is affected, but comfortably. And now, as you take up this minimal lifting of the right arm again, just barely taking it away from the floor, from the shoulder, see about also lifting the right leg in a similar way, so that you just take the right heel away from the floor, synchronized with the action of taking the right arm forward. Just a very small movement, almost like you're lifting the bone of the heel away from the floor and leaving the skin in contact. Just a very small movement. What happens in the middle of yourself as you do this? Is it possible this notion that the back could lengthen and maybe the heel could just barely creep longer away from the pelvis on the floor? And if that's not clear at this point, just imagine that it could become clear. And really synchronize. Note when you set them down which touches first, the hand or the heel, the knuckles of the hand, whatever it is you're lifting. And then time it so that they really come down together and come forward again together. That is back to the floor and forward away from the floor. And begin to use the exhalation to coordinate these and to add some sense of activity in the trunk. Maybe you could begin to think that in order to lift the limbs on the right side, that you lengthen along the whole back of the right side as the front of the trunk, the hip, the shoulder shortens just a little bit. The concave side of a curve on the front, the convex side on the back of yourself. And then use the exhalation and this idea of bending or lengthening on the back and shortening on the front to improve the coordination of the lifting and lowering at the same time of the heel and the hand. All right, and then leave it and slowly, carefully bring the arms alongside, the feet a little more together if you've got them apart, and note any change in the way you rest on the floor. Is there any difference you note right and left? Maybe even in the quality of breathing or the expression of the face from right and left? The way that the right hip or left hip, the buttocks rest on the floor? How much of the shoulder on each side is in contact? Then return to this X position. The arms out to the sides or overhead, depending on your ability. What's that? The feet a bit apart. What's that like now? Is it more possible? Is it simpler to rest on the floor? What's the position of the trunk, the shape of the trunk, the way you're shaping the trunk like now? All right, and now rather than taking the right arm and leg forward together, alternate so that first you take the right arm to the floor, away from the floor, forward, and then lower it and take the right foot away from the floor. What do you do in the middle of yourself for each of those movements to make it a little simpler? First the leg and then the arm, alternately, one then the other. And can you coordinate the exhalation to see that some action in the trunk, shortening on the front of yourself and maybe lengthening on the back, could aid here? And note, when you take the leg forward, does the low back come a little away from the floor, or what? What's the action there at the low back when you lift the leg? Because the musculature at the front of the leg and pelvis are partly used at least to lift the leg, it may be that you find that the low back comes away from the floor when you lift the leg. And maybe not so much when you lift the arm. It is, of course, a lighter limb also. I'll pause for a moment here. And now in this X position, roll the right leg out to the outside a little bit. Maybe you'll have to bend your knee a little to turn it in the hip joint so that the outside edge of the right foot comes closer to the floor. You don't have to push it to the floor. Just turn the leg in that direction a little bit so that the upper leg is really turned in the hip joint. And now try lifting the leg here. See what happens in the low back. Does that change it? Do you tend to take the low back to the floor now as you lift the leg? And then alternate so that you lift the hand forward away from the floor. See if there's a little echo of that same action in the trunk that you use to lift the leg when you lift the hand, alternating. And just compare. It's like with the leg turned out here, it changes the relationship of the leg to the trunk and the use of the pelvis a little bit. Then bring the leg back to where it was before in the simple crossed position without turning it out really, and see if you can use the back in this way, taking the back toward the floor, lengthening the whole back of yourself to lift the leg, and setting the leg down, and then lifting the hand using a similar kind of action. In other words, using the large musculature of the trunk to lift alternately the one limb and then the other on the right side. You can use the beginning of the exhalation maybe to fill in a little detail about something in the trunk. And leave it, bring the arms alongside the legs, more neutral. Take care of your shoulders and rest on your back. See with the contact of the floor and the shape of the whole trunk, quality of the breathing, or like now. So Feldenkrais comments here, any superfluous effort shortens the body, the trunk, actually the whole of the oneself. In almost every case, excess tension remaining in the muscles causes the spine to be shortened. Unnecessary effort accompanying an action tends to shorten the body. In every action in which a degree of difficulty is anticipated, the body is drawn together as a protective device against this difficulty. It's precisely this reinforcement of the body that requires the unnecessary effort and prevents it from organizing itself for action correctly, efficiently. The limit of ability must be widened by means of studying and understanding rather than by stubborn effort and attempts to protect the body. So he makes some comments here about superfluous action and the distinction to be made between adding conscious effort and a kind of straining versus a kind of reorganizing. When you're using all these superfluous efforts, the act resulting from this attempt to reinforce the body will never be graceful or stimulating. and will arouse no wish to repeat it. While it's possible to reach a desired aim in this tortuous fashion, the price paid for its achievement is higher than it appears at first sight. So maybe you can attain something, but you never want to do it again. All right, come once again to the front. Take up this X position, the belly to the floor. You can bring the hands a little bit together so perhaps the elbows are bent a bit comfortably. A general X shape rather than a rigid one or a highly linear one. Now begin to lift your right and your right leg and your right arm together in this minimal way, starting by taking the shoulder back, using the musculature of the back a bit to lift the shoulder, then the elbow, then the hand, and coordinate it with lifting the knee on the right side and then the foot away from the floor. And begin to coordinate it so that maybe the elbow and the knee come away from the floor together, and then whatever part of the hand or fingers or toes can be synchronized. And see about this idea that maybe you could begin to exhale to further improve the synchronization, and that perhaps you lengthen along the front of yourself and shorten along the back. Mostly lengthen along the front, so that perhaps this idea that the leg gets a little longer and the arm gets a little longer could appear. And then whatever position you've got your head in, try with the nose turned to the left, so the right cheek is on the floor. See what it's like here. Maybe you've already been doing that. Try a few more of these movements here in this position. If it's different from what you're doing, how is it different? Is it easier, more comfortable? Let's try several. Synchronized movements, lifting the leg and the arm by lengthening the whole front of yourself. See if there's any extra action you're doing, maybe in the left buttock or something like this. If the position of the head is inhibiting anything. Then take the head forward so that you rest the forehead on the floor, perhaps. And with the head forward, try this movement and see what the difference is with the head in this position. Lengthen along the whole front of yourself to take the arm and the leg away from the floor. And time it so they go together and that the breathing is coordinated with the movement, the beginning of the exhale with the beginning of the taking back of the arm and the leg. And after you've tried that a few times, turn the face to the right so that the left cheek or ear is closer to the floor and see what it's like here. Possible that there's a little creep in the arm, that you could make the arm a little longer or allow it to become a little longer as you lift. The sense that the front of the arm, the front of the trunk, the front of the leg lengthens. So you use the whole of the back to lift. And is there a little rolling at all to the one side as you lift the right limbs with the head in this position? All right, then pause here on the front, however it's comfortable, or reasonably so. Note how you rest on the floor. And take up this X position again. And begin as you take the hand and leg together away from the floor at the beginning of the exhalation to also move the head to look at that hand and also take the head away from the floor. So you bend the whole back to lift the head and the arm and the leg together. Lengthen the front of yourself. Look to the hand as you raise it away from the floor. And lift the head as well so that, and then set everything down. Just a small movement. See if this idea that you lengthen on the whole front can be used to lift the head and arm and leg together. See, is it easier to lift the limbs when you include the head? So the head goes back toward the ceiling just a little bit. Is there something simpler about it? See if you roll a little to one side or the other as you lift here. See, lengthen the whole front and use the whole of the trunk to lift the two limbs. Do you roll a little to the left, perhaps? If that hasn't occurred to you, you could try it to allow that just a little bit. Does it simplify the action? Or not, perhaps? All right, then leave it, come to your back and rest. See what it's like with the arms alongside and the legs long to rest on your back now, at this point. How much of the back is in contact with the floor? So the position of the pelvis and the head. Alright, take up this position with the arms overhead and the legs a little bit apart here on your back. Now try here, taking the right arm and the right leg forward away from the floor, minimally using the center of yourself to coordinate the action, to support the action of lifting the two limbs. Coordinated with the breathing, so that the exhalation maybe includes a kind of shortening the front of the chest and abdomen, a lengthening along the whole back of yourself, and then several times add the head in. See what it's like to take the head a little forward. Take care with your neck and shoulders and just see if that makes for a simpler action, just the right arm and the right leg and the head several times. See if you can take out any extraneous action so you don't surge into the movement, but you simply coordinate it. They all come together and let go in times with the breath. Is it easier to lift the two limbs when you include the head? Is it easier to shape the whole middle of yourself in a way that lifts these extremities when you do them all together? Or not so much? And you can leave the head out for several and just try the two limbs. Note how you use the trunk in that case. And add the head once or twice. And leave it and take the arms alongside, the legs long, relatively together, and rest. We have a little more in the lesson, but find your way to one side or the other. Come to sit and then to stand, and you can see what the results of the lesson are like in standing so far. Pause once you're over your feet and get a sense of the length of the right and left side, the quality of the muscular tone on the right and left side. What your sense of the softness or fullness of each side of the face is. If there were a mirror nearby, Feldenkrais suggests looking at the two sides of your face, seeing which eye is more open or softer. You just take a little few steps around. See what it's like in walking. What are the two arms like, one compared to the other, the two legs? Note any difference on the right side. It's the kind of thing that can last for some hours, perhaps, if it's quite clear. And find your way back to your spot, a spot. On the floor, come to your back. See what it's like once again on the floor. We'll take up this X position again, or this cross position with the arms overhead or to the degree that they are, and the legs a bit apart but not too far apart. Everything comfortable, reasonably comfortable. And we'll try in less time these movements on the left side. So using perhaps what you've discovered on the right to make the movements easier, more accessible, more comfortable, or with available with less effort. First begin to lengthen a little bit the left arm to take it away from the floor. See that what you include in the middle of yourself, what it's like to immediately bring in the exhalation or the use of the shortening of the chest in the front. You just try several movements here on the left side of just the left arm. What you bring in of the trunk. How much the shoulder comes away from the floor to just minimally lift this hand. And pause for a moment, and when you're ready, come to your front and try lifting the left arm on the front. And note any difference when you're on the, when you move to your front and try the left side, what that's like. Using the back to take the shoulder back, to lift the elbow of the left hand, then the wrist, leaving the hand last so the wrist bends softly. Coordinating the breathing. How's this different from what you recall of the other side? Is it simpler than the progression that you did on the other side? You begin to include the breathing and the use of the back. And try here lifting the left leg and the left arm. The smooth, slow initiation, taking the left knee and the left elbow away from the floor, just synchronized together precisely with the beginning of the exhalation. Maybe with a sense that you just lengthen along the front of yourself to take the limbs back. What can you bring from your doing this on the other side? You can try different positions of the head you like, if you like. See if there's any orientation of the head that improves the action, makes it more comfortable or easy. That may include a little rolling to the opposite side. But you check it out. Does your trunk roll toward the lifting limbs or away from them? You can try an action that brings forward one or the other. Does it help to have a sense that the right leg lengthens a little bit too? And you're welcome to try a couple more if you like. When you're ready, come to your back and rest. Take up this position with the arms extended overhead and the legs a bit apart. And on the left side here, try the action of bringing the left leg forward away from the floor and the left arm. Synchronize with the breathing, using the whole of the trunk to simplify the action. Lengthening along the back of yourself such that the back comes more in contact with the floor. Fully lowering the limbs between each breath, between each movement, coordinating them so that as the breathing, the exhalation begins, the lifting begins, they come down as precisely as you can put them down at the same time. And begin to include the head here. Does it simplify things to add the head, to use the whole trunk to lift the head and left arm and the left leg? Or not so much for you? Try both and compare. It's as if the front of the low ribs, the solar plexus, the low back, go back toward the floor to lift the extremities, using the trunk, the large muscles there to undertake this action? How does it compare to when you're doing this on the other side? Is it easier? Is there a difference on this side that makes it just significantly different? All right, and then bring the arms alongside, legs a bit more together so they're comfortably long, and rest. All right, take up this position with the arms overhead, the legs spread a bit. And now take the right arm forward and the left leg. So you explore the diagonal across and through the trunk. It's what it's like to take the right arm and the left leg forward, lengthening along the back of yourself, perhaps the hand reaches a little bit, perhaps the heel reaches just a little bit, not terribly intentionally, just see if it's possible to become longer on the back across this whole diagonal line, folding in the middle of yourself a bit, shortening on the front, lengthening on the back. What goes toward the floor as the two limbs come away? Let's try to remove any superfluous or extraneous or unneeded work. Note how the trunk moves into the floor and how it comes in away as you lower the limbs. And pause for just a moment here in this position and try the other diagonal so that you take the left arm and the right leg forward away from the floor. And just this minimal way that the knee and the elbow are lift away together as the exhalation is forming. What's the work like on the front of yourself, through the front of the left side of the chest and the abdomen, to use lengthening the back to take the limbs forward? And pause and rest here on your back however you like for a few moments. Now with the arms overhead and the legs spread, try all four limbs and the head together. Just a minimal lift here, taking the two arms, the two legs, the head forward. What do you take back in the middle of yourself? How do you lengthen on the whole back to shorten the front and lift all the extremities at once? Well, take care that you don't strain in any way. Just do what's available. There's no need to do more. Maybe it's just a lightening of the head or the heels or something. Get a sense of what this is like. Everything together, shortening in the front, lengthening in the back. And leave it and come to your front. And try out the sequence with the front to the floor. You just take it at your own time. First one diagonal lifting, then the other. How do you lengthen in the whole front? Now, using the powerful muscles of the back and the trunk to lift on a diagonal here, setting down fully between each movement. Do what you like with your head. You can try different positions if you like. Try the other diagonal if you haven't. What do you move first to move these opposing limbs? Can you do it with establishing a sense of length along the front of yourself? And when you're ready to try it, perhaps with the forehead to the floor, lift all four limbs and the head. Just minimally. Just use the middle of yourself to lengthen the whole front of yourself and take the hands back, the elbows, the knees and feet back, the head back. Even if it's quite small, though it may be quite small. Coordinated with the breathing, synchronize the rising and lowering. If it's got your interest, do a few more. Otherwise, when you're ready to do so, come to your back and rest. Know what it's like to rest on your back here, the limbs along and alongside. It's the sense of length on the two sides, the shape of the spaces behind the low back and the neck, the organization of the rib cage, sense of the length or lengths of the whole spine, front and back. Quality of breathing. How does it compare to the beginning of the lesson? How do you rest on the floor now? Is anything closer to the floor than it was? Or different in some way, perhaps farther away from the floor in some spot? But in general, do you rest more fully on the floor? All right, when you're ready, you're welcome to take your time about it. You can roll to a side and come to stand. Preserving some aspect of your attention to yourself as you come upright. This quality of easy initiation of movement. Pause in standing for a moment, just get a sense of the position of the head, the position of the two arms, your sense of the front and back of yourself, the lengths of those two. The quality of breathing is like. In a sense, sensation or the feeling of being upright here at the end of this lesson. Take a little walk around. We'll call it a lesson. We'll call it some fundamental properties of movement. Thank you, everyone.